I'll call the April 7th Common Council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandria.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderwoman Evans.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
We have a couple of Eagle Scouts. Are they here?
Yeah,
gentlemen, come on forward and lead it for us, please. You're it?
I guess I'm it.
What is your name?
Ryan Simmons.
Ryan, please lead us.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Ryan. Before I open the citizens' comment period, a couple of housekeeping issues. First of all, the citizens' comment period is an opportunity for any citizen to speak on any matter that they have on their mind. The Common Council has for many, many years had a rule of 3 minutes each. Got to pass through the whole order if you want to speak twice. Again, you know, we're all friends and neighbors, so let's treat each other with respect. So I will open the citizen comment period. Is there any citizen wishing to speak on any matter? Yes, ma'am. Name and address for the record, please.
Sure. Jill Erickson, 8016 South 60th Street. This is regarding the quarry monitoring contract for 2015. On October 21st, 2014, the council moved to approve the quarry monitoring professional service agreement with Stantec Consulting Services and authorized staff to enter into that renewal agreement. Nearly 5 months later, on March 12, 2015, the contract was approved by the city attorney and forwarded to the mayor, city clerk, and Stantec for signatures. My question here tonight is, Mayor, the blasting season has arrived. Our neighbors have felt it. Have you signed the contract? And if not, why not?
Contract was signed ages ago.
No.
Last week I signed it. That was ages, you know. Last week.
6 months, yeah, that's quick.
Okay, anyone else wishing to speak? Just in comment period. Anyone else?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No,
you're
Ms. Benning, please.
Angie Benning, 9272 South 96th Street. Me as well as quite a few of our neighbors here are here to be against the CBRF that you guys have going in on 92nd Street. We are wondering if the DNR is going to do a concurrence on the property. We're wondering if and when there's going to be a community advisory committee against for this property. Alfred Johnson from the Rules and Regulations of CBRFs has told us that we are entitled to have a community advisory committee. We're also wondering if a redelineation can be done on the property in accordance with the Franklin Ordinance 4-4G, which states a current redelineation may be required where there exists extrinsic evidence of or cause to reasonably believe that such original delineation is incorrect or that the wetland boundary has changed substantially considering the size and quality of the wetland and the circumstances of any proposed development impact upon the wetland. And we are also wondering if there is any way to appeal the variance for the water main to be extended to the end of the property, as any of us as citizens, if we had to put water in, we would not be allowed to run water halfway through our property and not through the full extent of the property.
Thank you, Ms. Benning. Those folks in the hall, please, we need you to come in the room. Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? Yes, ma'am. Jim, you got to get up faster than that.
Those scouts are taller than me. Jim Lysak, 8756 West Mallard Court. I am here again to discuss softball diamonds, soccer fields, tennis courts, lacrosse fields, and any other recreational facilities for the children of Franklin. I've been asking this for almost 4 years now, and all I get is, we have no land, or that belongs to the school district recreation. I think Mr. Zimmerman from The Rock had the right idea. It's just, he went about it the wrong way. I think the city of Franklin can do a lot better job. I'm referring to an article now to raise money for the city of Franklin. I'm going to refer to an article in February 5th, 2015, Now paper, where it states, city officials consider residents' request. This refers to a dog park to be located in the Southwest Park, which does not exist right now, but it's on the docket. This park would consist of 165 acres of Milwaukee County land and 175 to 200 acres of land to be acquired by the city of Franklin. I stand here in full support of this park if it includes the areas that I'm about to mention for the children. It takes approximately 50 acres for 8 softball diamonds. Those are for girls now because they have one diamond in this city. With restrooms, concession stands, and parking. About 40 acres for 20 soccer fields with restrooms, concession stands, and parking. 20 acres for 10 lacrosse fields, and 3 acres for 20 tennis courts with restrooms, parking, and approximately 1 acre will give us 125 parking places. So if we add 3 or 4 more acres onto that, we'll have adequate parking for everything. If this is designed correctly, it would take about 120 total acres to give the children of Franklin a safe place to play sports, thus leaving about 230 acres for the dogs to run. The average dog park in other communities is between 5 and 20 acres. I know there are dog lovers out there, myself included, I have one, but I do think that the children of Franklin come before the dogs. I'm sorry to say that. As far as the cost of building these facilities, I've talked to other cities, and most of them have gone to hospitals, wealthy people in the community, and big businesses. Maybe Hiller Ford could throw in a little bit, considering they're here tonight. Yeah, what about that? They could also get naming rights then on the fields that they put donate money to. If this project is done correctly, with planning, it could also attract, if it's done the right way and done very nicely, it could also attract colleges to have playoff games there and maybe tournaments there. This would be a well-needed area and input for this area. It would also include motels, restaurants, maybe some sports businesses and stuff like that. But do me one favor. If you go through with this project, do not hire the same engineering firm that put the girls' softball diamond at Franklin High School. That is atrocious. Everybody knows, or most everybody should know, girls in the high school only play softball in April and May. And if an engineer doesn't know that, he should find that out before he built that. He built it at the bottom of a hill where the water, because our rainiest days come in April and May, where the water runs right down onto the field. This is going to be great for rainouts, and they don't reschedule those games. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Lysak. Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Mr. Lysak, I haven't seen you at a few meetings, but if you look back at some of the agenda items, four of the council members up here attempted to address the many concerns that you and other residents have brought forward when we were looking at working with the county. That would have saved the city from having to buy the land. The county was interested in working with us. We had three county supervisors in support of that. It included baseball diamonds, room for tennis courts.
Excuse me right there. Baseball diamonds. There's seven of them right down here.
Okay, let's
I'm trying to address your concerns. So we had an opportunity. We were going to try to do that. It didn't go in that direction. The council it went a different direction. But that was, I just want to let you know, that was why my vote went the way that it did, is because I've been sitting up here for many, many years hearing, we want tennis courts, we want baseball fields, and we had an opportunity to have a larger community project and could have gotten the land through a lease with the county park, a long-term lease, and we could have addressed a lot of those concerns, but that opportunity is behind us now. So,
no, Jim.
That's a different project.
Wait a minute. Excuse me.
You have it in the future planning. What's planned for that park then?
Which park is that?
The one that's on the docket, the Southwest Park.
There is no plan currently for the Southwest Park.
Says it right here in the paper.
Yeah, says lots of things in the paper, Jim.
Yes.
It's in the Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan, but there is no plan for it.
Okay.
I should tell you the truth.
If there is a plan for it, would you consider it?
Sure, absolutely. I'll call you later, Jim.
Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak? Mr. Lewandowski.
Leroy Lewandowski, 8030 West Winston Way. I want to bring up the item in regards, number six, Common Council request for legal opinion upon meaning of biannually. Now, the PDD 23 gives a different definition than a dictionary for biannually. And even though the quarry seems to bypass even filing reports for the last 4 or 5 years, that I understand, they seem to do what they want, and the city doesn't do anything to correct it. One of the issues is the fact that right here is a good example. If you want me to put this on the table, that you can see this. This is a form of a cover of a report that was filed by the quarry. That report says that it is a 2014. It also says down at the bottom that it's 2013 and 2014. These people can do anything they want, and any time they want to make a report, they call it anything. We don't have any control over that operation. I just thought of something the other day. I had seen a lot of crushed limestone taken out of the 30-foot underwater tunnels that they were building here in the area. And I'm wondering, why can't they use a machine like that to cut up their limestone right down there instead of blasting, and we'd have it all solved? We shouldn't allow anybody to be blasting inside the city. Well, one of the other things I want to bring up is the fact that this Caleb playground that we're going into, three people voted for it, three stated they abstain. I can't understand why that went that way, but these people are afraid to vote no. What kind of alderman are they? Basically, if I understand it, there's going to be $1 million spent on this park, approximately between 800 and some and a million. Also, we got a dog park that somebody wants to put in. All of these items are costing money. I have constantly come up for this audience and asked that we change this audio system to be more practical so we can use it better. It's not very good. It's been in existence for how many years? And I don't think the recording is, some of the people don't know how to use the mics. So all this money being spent, and again, I'm against this park being in the Franklin Woods because of the road that's there. I'm against it because the deers go through there, and there's also the possibility of having Lyme disease for the children. I don't know why. The last time I talked about the one on Loomis Road. So I don't know. You people keep putting it in different places that it don't belong and spending our money. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lewandowski. Anyone else wishing to speak? Mr. Salmon, good afternoon.
Joel Salmon. I live on 9272 South 96th Street, great city of Franklin. I'm asking today if we could be allowed to speak during agenda letter F.
That would be a decision of the council at that time. It's not unheard of.
And I would just like to make sure we're going to cover today the petition that we filed. We now have 323 signatures. So.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Salmon. Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else wishing to speak? All right. Seeing. Oh, you caught me just before.
I'm Liz Barola from 9218 West Briarwood Drive in Franklin. I believe I represent the 45 people who are over age 65 in the Briarwood subdivision who have lived there for 40, 50, some of us 60 years. For all this time, we have been shielded from the Highway 100 noise and traffic by a strip of wetlands, and we have peacefully coexisted with the deer, the coyotes, the foxes, and many other wildlife species. They are now talking about disrupting this balance. My husband and I are in our mid-70s, and in the future, one of us may require disabled senior housing, and there's nothing more that I would like than to be able to go into a small 5-bed CVRF less than 2 blocks away. And I'm sure many of the younger residents would also look favorably on this type of housing should their mother or father require it. However, unless you can give us undeniable proof that that is what you have in mind, I am very doubtful of the validity of the statements that the lawyer made at our last meeting. If this were a 3,000-square-foot facility for 5 handicapped seniors, why in heaven's name would they spend the money to put up basketball courts? Why would you put in 16 parking spaces, and why would you purchase 17 acres unless you have plans for future expansions? Vulnerable seniors living in their homes and children playing outside and waiting for the bus on the corner would and should not be the type of neighborhood for a facility that houses offenders and people recently incarcerated, as Matt Talbot's own website lists. In addition, and this is a big one, navigating off 92nd Street, as most of us had to do tonight, onto Highway 100 already puts one's life in jeopardy. Adding the cars of people working and visiting this facility will only make it worse. My question is, with all the available vacant land in Franklin, what are you thinking? What is the reasoning to build this in the middle of an established subdivision? There are numerous other sites in Franklin that would be perfect for this type of facility. Start at 00 and go all the way northeast down Loomis Road. You'll find vacant land all the way down that would be more than suitable. If Matt Talbot can assure us this is going to be only a small facility for a 5 handicapped senior, who will have the governance so that we will have control of over who will be housed in the future? Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak? I'm slow on the trigger here, but anyone else wishing to speak? All right, seeing none, I will close the citizens comment period. Thank you very much. We'll move on to item B1, a proclamation for Alexander Mathers. Is Alexander here? Eagle Scout? Okay, he's not here, but we know that Ryan Simmons is here. Ryan, would you join us up in front, please? And Alderman Evans?
This is the good things mayors and aldermen get to do. A certificate of achievement for Ryan M. Simmons. Whereas the development of our youth, both boys and girls, is greatly enhanced by active participation in scouting. And whereas Ryan Simmons, by study, hard work, and perseverance, has successfully progressed through the various ranks in scouting. And whereas such dedication and industriousness has resulted in Ryan Simmons earning the highest award in scouting, that of Eagle Scout. And whereas Ryan Simmons' achievement had broadened his knowledge and experience and will help him in all his future endeavors. And whereas Ryan Simmons' parents, his scouting leaders, friends, and community are proud of his achievement. Now, therefore, I, Mayor Stephen R. Olson, on behalf of the Common Council and the residents of the City of Franklin, do hereby present this certificate of achievement to Ryan Simmons on the occasion of him becoming Eagle Scout, and ask that all residents of the city join me in congratulating Ryan Simmons on his outstanding achievement, dated this third day of April 2015. We have a little bit of tradition that we ask the Eagle Scouts to tell us about the project they did to earn their Eagle Scout hat. So, Ryan, please give us a quick bit.
All right, so my Eagle Scout project was building wood duck houses and benches in two parks in Franklin. That would be Grobschmidt Park, which is Mud Lake, and Anderson Lake, which is by 68th and Loomis. There I built 8 duck houses and 4 benches where it took a while because we had to install them in the winter time last year, which was brutal. But it was a fun time, and I learned so many things that they'll project me in the right direction throughout life. So, and I like to thank my mom and dad for helping me out.
Thank you. Ryan, you need to stay through the entire meeting.
Because they're laughing, it's true. Mayoral announcements. Quick Trip grand opening is tomorrow, 9 a.m. to 11. The ribbon cutting is at 10. You're all welcome and encouraged to attend. I've also been told that the anticipating opening date for the Hampton Inn is the weekend of June 5th. No announcement yet as to grand opening ceremony, so I just thought I'd pass that on to all of you. Okay, on to business. Item C1, approval of the minutes of March 17th Common Council meeting. These are not amended.
Move to approve.
Second.
March 17th. Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, on item G5, this is a motion by D'Andrea. There's a section missing for, it was for the ending of staff review. Subject to staff review and approval is missing from that motion, and that was confirmed in an email that I received from Nick Fuchs. So if we could add subject to staff review and approval to the motion on G5. I have a question on G6. G6 on the agenda was the request for the naming. It says that it went to the Common Council following approval from the Park Commission, and the Park Commission sent it back to the Council for the naming. Typical policy is the motion should have been to put it in the paper under the policy of 2010-6634. Is that going to be noted in the paper? it's upcoming yet? So it will come back after the 30 day then?
Yes.
Okay. Because the motion didn't direct it to go into the paper. So at what motion did it direct it to go into the paper?
Policy.
It's part of that. Because I noticed when we did the policy for Pleasantview, it was very specific that it was going out in the paper. And then on G11, both the motion that was made and the agenda item is not correct. The sidebar should be that the agenda item was a status update from the Quarry Monitoring Committee. It says something about a PDD, so we need to change that to actually reflect the agenda item. And then the motion needs to be deleted with the proper motion was that the status update for the Quarry Monitoring Committee pertaining to the non-metallic mining and reclamation plan was the motion that was, the item was tabled. So I guess I'd ask that the to have those amendments made.
Is there a motion?
Yes, Alderwoman.
And I'll second the amended motion.
Alderwoman Nevitz? Can you read the amendment?
I'm sorry, Alderwoman Wilhelm, can you repeat the G11 change that you're making?
Well, the minutes for the G11, if you look off to the side, it says, what's the right page here? What's the page number for that one?
12.
Page 12.
Bottom of the page.
It says on the left-hand side, which is typically states the agenda action sheet, it says PDD 23, and that's actually, if you look in the council packet even for tonight, it's status update from the Quarry Monitoring Committee, so it was the entire report. And then we just tabled that entire report. So that wasn't my motion.
Okay, I'll amend my motion when the changes are recommended.
Moved and seconded as amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. That's March 17th. March 23rd meeting minutes. Is there a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second. Anybody?
I'll say.
Thank you. The discussion of the March 23rd minute. Alderwoman Wilhelm.
That was the meeting when we had the veto, and Alderman Schmidt and myself had wrote a item to be read into the record, which wasn't allowed in the council packet, and it was also not read into the record at that meeting, just for clarification. Thank you.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of March 23rd. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Can I get clarification?
Alderwoman Mayer.
Is there going to be something in the revised minutes about the veto that was just brought up?
The motion was made to approve the minutes as submitted, so the answer to that is no. March 20, item C3, March 26th minutes. These are the ones that are revised. There's a revised. It's called final. Let's get a motion on the floor. Is there a motion to approve?
Well, that's exactly why I don't want a motion to approve, because they're wrong, so why should we have to amend it? So why don't we correct it first and then make the motion? So I'm prepared to do that, if you call in.
Well, I follow you. I understand from the clerk that the final that's at your places this evening was the appropriately corrected minutes. Madam Clerk.
Alderwoman Wilhelm believes that the number C1, the minutes should be C2. And so she's requesting that motion reflect something that was on the agenda. So she has an additional revision.
I'm pausing not because I disagree with that. I'm just wondering how we fix that. Alderwoman Mayer, or Wilhelm.
Well, if you look at the special council meeting agenda, it was item C1, Kayla's Crew All Accessible All Inclusive Playground Development at Framing Park. Item C2, Kayla's Crew All Accessible All Inclusive Playground Development, Lions Legend Park at Franklin Woods Park site, and the Lions Legend Park site. So that would have been C1 and C2. So first of all, the agenda items on the left-hand side should reflect what was actually on the agenda. So I'm suggesting that the left side say, in brief, Kayla's Playground Development at Framing Park and Milwaukee County Update, because that's what's on the agenda, because it says but not limited to the update. And C2 would then be the Kayla's Playground Development at Lions Legend Park site and Franklin Woods site. That takes care of what the agenda items were, based on the agenda which is in front of me, which we all had. As for the motions, what took place was we were discussing C1 for the all-inclusive park at Framing Park. What happened was Alderman Mayer had a question. He brought up something that was on G2 or C2. The mayor quickly moved us over to C2. Then Alderman Mayer made a motion on C2. So the very first motion took place on C2. There was nothing to be listed under C1. Then I came in and said, how did we jump to C2 when we haven't finished up C1? Got clarification from the city clerk or city attorney that we could actually be discussing both. And then a second motion was made on C2 by Alderman Evans. So both motions should be listed under C2, and no action was actually taken on the development of C1 under Framing Park rather than discussion and the update.
Madam Clerk.
So noted. I don't know what else to say. If you want them amended, I can amend them to reflect that the motions are under C2. Just for clarification, the left-hand column is a summary for quick review. It doesn't always, but we can amend it to the way you prefer. You're the ones making the motions.
Is there a motion to approve the March 26th minutes labeled final with the change striking the item C2 and making it, I'm sorry, striking C1, making it C2, making the next paragraph also C2, and amending the descriptive left margin?
Mayor, I'll make the motion as I stated and read into the record that the minutes reflect what was actually on the agenda for the meeting of March 26th, and the motions are as were recorded on the tape.
All right, let's do it this way. Is there a motion to table March 26th pending resolution of the discussion? Madam Clerk.
If you table them, then we don't get them published. If you want to go with the motion she just made, the corrections will be reflected.
I'll second that motion.
Mr. City Attorney.
I don't have that agenda in front of me. I'm remembering C1 referred to Framing Park site. C2 was potential other sites. There were motions on each topic. I do recall Common Council President raising a point of order that Alderman Mayer had began discussing into the second topic on the agenda. But out there, in the real world, we have two topics. One was Framing Park, and there was a vote on that. And the second one...
No, there was no vote on it. There was no vote on Framing Park.
So the minutes draft as final, which reflect Alderman D. Mayer moved to take the Framing Park site off the list for the...
No, that was an error.
It should be C2.
Legend Park.
It's Legend Park.
No, yes.
I'm sorry. Okay. further to say now that I can see.
Madam Clerk.
I would suggest that the motion, that there be a motion to table the minutes, and I can give you a transcript of exactly what each of you said during that time. And then you can make the determination yourself at the next meeting.
Okay. Organizationally, there is a motion on the floor to approve as amended. Does that motion stand? Alderman Willem.
I'm fine with the motion. I listened to the tape. I actually recorded it myself. I've spent all the time on this, so I'm fine with the motion the way that it stands. However, I have one additional point to make. My agenda, or my motion from the veto meeting, I don't believe was reflected in this agenda. And I'm going to say that because when I go back to my motion ran all of those items together. The agenda separated out the items, which made it impossible for the council to act independently on those items. My motion was, and probably read it enough, I can probably say it without even looking at it. My motion was to move forward with the county meeting, bring an update back to the city council on the Thursday meeting for a special meeting, and look at the Lions Legend Park site in full, not just Lions Legend 1, and look at the Franklin Woods site as a newcomer. The agenda separates those items out, made it impossible for us to go on concurrent tracks with that. I had a problem with that. I also have an email or a text message or that was sent to me from the mayor telling me right after the veto meeting that he was going to make sure the city attorney addressed looking at both Lions Legend 1 and 2. We stood outside for a half an hour listening to fire engines at Legends 1 only. We never made it across the bank, which was my original site where I wanted to look at for the Kayla's crew. So I'm fine with what's happened, where it's going. I'm not fine with the process that took place leading up to that. And I would like the process to be better followed in the future. And I stand by my motion for the minutes as they are corrected.
Any discussion of the motion? Alderwoman Evans.
Minutes reflect what happened at the meeting, not necessarily the agenda. Oftentimes we switch the agenda around depending on what happened, you know, at the mayor's call. Minutes are what happens at the meeting. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Everything you're saying isn't necessarily.
Listen to the tape.
Excuse me, y'all. Okay, motion on the floor to approve as amended. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Alderman Dandria.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
No.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Motion passes. Vote is 5 ayes, 1 no. Motion passes. Item D1, a proposed resolution. This is a public hearing. I'm sorry, I crossed it on too quick. That's the optimist in me. April 1, special common council meeting minutes. Is there a motion to approve? Any changes?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion of...
Could you read the motion?
Motion to approve the meeting, special meeting minutes for April 1st.
Okay. And you have a first and a second?
Well, yes.
Okay.
All those in favor of the motion to approve the April 1st meeting minutes signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. I will move on to item D1, a public hearing proposed resolution which proposes the vacation of approximately 0.467 acres of right-of-way in an undeveloped cul-de-sac at the west end of West Allwood Drive adjacent to the property located, and I love doing this, 10819, 10835, 10847, and 10836 West Allwood Drive, Southbrook Church Incorporated applicant. Madam Clerk, you have a notice to read.
The Common Council of the City of Franklin will hold a public hearing on Tuesday, April 7, 2015 at 6:30 p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, upon a resolution introduced at a Common Council meeting held February 17, 2015, and which proposes the vacation of approximately 0.467 acres of right-of-way in an undeveloped cul-de-sac at the west end of West Allwood Drive, adjacent to property located at 10819, 10835, 10847, and 10836 West Allwood Drive in the City of Franklin, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, which is bounded and legally described in the public notice containing in all 20,344 square feet, 0.467 acres of land, more or less. Legal description and map of the area involved and a copy of the proposed resolution are on file in the office of the City Clerk of Franklin, Wisconsin. Public hearing is being held pursuant to the requirements of Section 66.1003-4B and 8B of the Wisconsin statutes. Copy of the proposed resolution in draft form is available and open for inspection by the public in the office of the Franklin City Clerk during normal business hours. Public is invited to attend the public hearing and to provide input. The proposed draft form resolution is subject to revisions following public hearing and the further consideration by the Plan Commission and the City of Franklin Common Council.
It appears that the notice has been properly given. I was going to say the notice has been properly noticed. The net of this, folks, is there's a cul-de-sac on the end of Allwood Drive that is now part of a land owned by Southbrook Church. We're talking about vacating that street so that Southbrook Church can move forward with their plans. This is a public hearing. I'll open the public hearing on this count. Anyone wishing to speak on this particular matter? Yes, sir, please.
Leroy Lewandowski, 8030 West Winston Way. I object to this closing of that cul-de-sac. I have too many streets in my neighborhood where they only go maybe 100 feet in, just like this one. The trucks have a tremendous time getting the snow in and out. And Mr. Glenn Moore said something about the DPW truck driver said it was okay. And I don't think that should be done that way. I think the citizens are the one that would tell the Common Council what to do. Basically, it's wrong to close that off as a cul-de-sac because we need that to turn around. I've got too many of my area. You can go look through them, and this should be stopped. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lewandowski. Yes, sir. Name and address.
My name is Joseph Clark, 319 Michigan Avenue, Sheboygan, Wisconsin, representing Growth Design Group Architects in Cedarburg, here on behalf of Southbrook Church. Just wanted to let the council and the mayor know that we have the architectural and engineering team here, along with owner representatives, if we can be of any assistance with questions for your discussion this evening.
Well, since you're there, the intent of this is to remove a cul-de-sac, is that correct?
That is correct.
So, in essence, Allwood Drive would then become ended at Mission Drive. Is that correct?
Correct. It would flow into the adjacent driveway rather than having a dead-end cul-de-sac onto the church property.
So, in other words, it's a left turn no matter what.
Correct.
Or it could be a right.
Which way? Depends which way you're coming.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak in this matter? Anyone else? Seeing no one else rise, I will close the citizen comment period. Common Council, any questions? Let's move right to the G1, a resolution to vacate approximately 0.467 acres of right-of-way in an undeveloped cul-de-sac at the west end of West Allwood Drive.
Move to approve.
I'll second.
Discussion, Alderman Willem.
We had talked about the possibility of having pedestrian access in that in the future. Is there any contingency that they would consider on that?
Discussions with the church was that they're amenable to it, but it would not be part of the vacation. It would be separate parts. but they're willing to talk about it.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Let's move to item D2, a hearing on a proposed resolution which proposes the vacation of approximately 1.829 acres of right-of-way, which extends approximately 60 feet along Whitnall Edge Road between South 108th Street and Forest Home, adjacent to properties located at 6421, 6431 to 6435, and 6455 South 108th Street, as well as 111131 West Forest Home Avenue, and properties adjacent to the West Forest Home Avenue bearing tax keys 704-998-0002, located in Franklin, Wisconsin. Madam Clerk, you have a notice to read.
The Common Council of the City of Franklin will hold a public hearing on Tuesday, April 7th, 2015, at 6:30 p.m. or soon thereafter, as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin. Upon a resolution introduced at a Common Council meeting held February 17th, 2015, and which proposes the vacation of approximately 1.8290 acres of right-of-way, which extends approximately 60 feet along Whitnall Edge Road between South 108th Street and West Forest Home Avenue, adjacent to property located at 6421, 6431 to 6435, and 6455 South 108th Street, 11131 West Forest Home Avenue, and property adjacent to West Forest Home Avenue bearing tax key number 704-998-0002, located in the city of Franklin, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, which is bounded and legally described as in the public notice, containing in all 79,672 square feet or 1.8290 acres of land, more or less. Legal description and map of the area involved and a copy of the proposed resolution are on file in the office of the City Clerk of Franklin, Wisconsin. This public hearing is being held pursuant to the requirements of Section 66.1003-4B and 8B of the Wisconsin statutes. A copy of the proposed resolution in draft form is available and open for inspection by the public in the office of the Franklin City Clerk during normal business hours. The public is invited to attend the public hearing and to provide input. The proposed draft form resolution is subject to revisions following public hearing and the further consideration by the Plan Commission and the City of Franklin Common Council.
It appears we have a properly noticed public hearing. The net of this one, folks, is this is a release of a roadway that goes in between Hiller Ford from 108th Street, and it bisects their property. The intention here is to make that road become part of Hiller Ford. I will now open a public hearing for this matter, item D2. Anyone wishing to speak on this matter? Anyone wishing to speak? Seeing none, I will close the citizens' comment period. Common Council, questions? Alderman Mayor.
Yes, is that item G2, correct?
Yes.
G2, okay.
Well, that's what we'll go to. It's D2 that we're on. We'll go to G2 if you like.
Right, okay.
So without objection, let's move to item G2, a resolution to amend resolutions 8830. Mr. City Attorney. It should be. Nope, that's special use. Item G4, a resolution to vacate approximately 1.829 acres of right-of-way, which extends approximately 60 feet along Whitnall Edge Road, as previously described in the public hearing. Is there a motion with regards to this matter? This is item G4.
I'll make that motion.
Second, Alderman Mayor.
I'll second.
Any discussion of the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you in the audience for bearing with us. Take care of these matters as we can. There's two other matters regarding this particular one. Without objection, let's do those two, and then we can get back to the regular order. Item G2, a resolution to amend various resolutions not recorded and imposing conditions and restrictions for a special use permit for those properties previously described, commonly known as Hiller Ford. Mr. Deal.
Thank you. As a common council packet materials indicate, the Plan Commission recommended approval of this item. It is the special use component or aspect of their project, and the applicant is here if the common council has any questions. There were a couple changes worthy to note. The applicant does have a concern with a couple of the conditions that are in the special use resolution, one of which is noted in the staff report. They got that information to us before. I should say the common council action sheet was done. They provided us that information. In regards to that one, the property in front of the showroom is within 10 feet. The parking lot in front of the showroom is within 10 feet of the right-of-way of 300 right now. The condition was that they remove all pavement out of that 10-foot distance. They're indicating that they're not able to maintain proper parking stall sizes and drive aisle sizes and to build those vehicle display areas that would be up front. They are adding landscaping to that area, so there's no additional encroachment, no further encroachment. They're just not removing it. Staff was okay with that. So that would have to be a change, removal of that condition, and that condition would be condition number 4. The applicant also has some concerns with some other ones. Condition number 6, for instance, they had some concerns with the condition from the Plan Commission and staff was to add additional customer parking on the north side of the showroom. They already have 9 designated spaces. Staff was asking for more than those, no concrete number. My understanding is if there is no concrete number and there's some latitude for flexibility here, the applicant may not be too concerned, but they did want to bring that condition up. If the council felt comfortable not requiring any additional at all, that's what the applicant prefers. If it was a small addition, they probably would be okay with that. Staff still recommending additional customer parking on the north side. They're adding more space to the showroom. They're removing existing customer parking spaces, so we're recommending the addition. There's a couple other changes they brought up at the last minute as well. Again, talking to the applicant, they would like to make these known, although they'd be willing to work with staff on compromises in most instances. I've already mentioned condition number 4 for the special use. Condition number 5 is the area in front of the quick lane or quick loop building. They didn't want to place the vehicle display areas, the same ones that they had in front of the proposed for the showroom. They thought that would detract from the focus on the showroom. Staff again indicated that something smaller, additional landscaping. We believe that condition is worded flexibly enough that we could compromise, and the applicants seemed to be okay with the compromise. They weren't comfortable doing the same size, same kind of display areas as in the front of the showroom. So if the council supported having some type of display with additional landscaping, then that we staff believes that condition is fine the way it is. And then for condition number 6, I've already mentioned that one. And condition number 10 is relating to the CSM. The condition notes that the right-of-way, which is being vacated, also be shown on the CSM. There's another way of doing it. They could do a meets and bounds description, separate step, wouldn't show up on the CSM at all. It ultimately accomplishes the same thing, but it's not as clean of a record. It would be best to show it on the CSM. They're already doing a CSM. They're already revising the CSM. So staff would say, would recommend, show that change on the CSM as well. Again, the applicant would like to note that to the Common Council that they prefer not to do it. It sounded like if they had to, they would, and they understand where staff's coming from. So those are essentially the changes. There was a couple small technical changes. One of the parcel numbers is wrong. It has 000 at the end of it. It should be 004. But otherwise, those are the bulk of the changes. So as currently proposed, we would be removing condition number 4, and staff would recommend keeping the other conditions.
Mr. Deedle, do you feel like removing number 4, this is ready and prepared before us? Because it sounds like an awful lot of stuff that you just presented that was not in my packet. Are you okay with...
Yes.
This is in Alderwoman's Suzanne.
I believe they're minor.
And the correction to the... I know we discussed earlier today that I noted that these tax key numbers weren't correct, so any motion should include staff correcting those. This is in Alderwoman Suzanne Mayer's district, and I believe she would be more appropriate to address that. I just wanted to clarify that.
Alderwoman Mayer.
I will make a motion to adopt resolution 2015, a resolution to amend resolutions numbers 88-3175, 95-4217, 99-4875, 99-4933, 2004-5733, which is not recorded, and 2004-5736, imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for properties located at 6381, 6411, 6455, and 6421 South 108th Street to allow for building expansion and remodeling of the Hiller Ford new and used car dealership showroom, offices, and service writing area. In addition to the existing body shop, construction of a used vehicle sales building, and associated parking and landscaping changes. Hiller Ford, Inc. and Dealership Properties, Inc. applicant subject to striking 6455 from condition number 4. And I'd also like to add that the corrections to the tax key numbers are changed within the resolution.
Second.
And by the way, the word is writing with a W, not an R. Any other discussion of the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion to approve signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. And let's do the certified survey map. Item G3. It's a resolution conditionally approving a 2-lot certified survey map for the property as described earlier, Hiller Ford and South 100th Street. Mr. Deal.
One of the conditions from that special use also applies to this one, revising the CSM to show that right away, based on the prior motion, the condition would stand as is. There are a couple minor technical corrections. There are a couple times in the conditions where the CSM is referred to as a 3-lot CSM. It's actually a 2-lot CSM. And then the parcel that they're in the process of acquiring, that tax key number should be added to the opening whereas of the resolution. And only part of condition number 10 was removed. That condition applies to modifying the site plan to reflect the removal of parking stalls from the right-of-way. That becomes null and void because they're acquiring that right-of-way now. So that part of condition number 10 was at the top of page 3. That should be removed. Otherwise, staff's recommending approval of that.
It's good because we don't have condition 10. Alderman Wilhelm.
When he was referring to the two leftover sentences that were number 10.
Yes.
The page that need to be struck from the resolution. Mr. Deedle, number 9 on the bottom of page 101, where it says they shall submit a revised CSM to reflect the move of the entire, is that no longer valid? Because they're doing the entire
Yes, but they need to transfer that property to adjacent parcels, and they could show that where it goes on the CSM.
So you want 9 to stay?
Yes.
Okay. And then as far as the CSM, at what point will they have the setbacks on the drainage or waterway that's present on the site?
There's no time limit other than typically building permit, before building permit, prior to recording. So they would have to show those on the CSM before they could record it with Milwaukee County.
Okay, so...
And then we get it before they can record it with Milwaukee.
So you will be looking at the CSM for the setbacks on there?
Yes. And we also, our normal review is the review for last minute, any technical changes. Make sure nothing's been changed before it's sent to Milwaukee County.
Well, this is a really important, not so much for this, but the fact that the letters that are before us, the people ask the same question on how we determined a concurrence with the DNR as far as our own ordinance. 50-foot setback versus 75-foot setback is all the difference in the world if you've got a navigable waterway. So how will this council be assured that it doesn't move ahead with the wrong setback on it if we're not going to be seeing the CSM back before us?
As we normally do, in instances like this, we'll have a second consultant review the information from the first consultant. And our normal, typical request is to look for any natural resource feature that the city protects. So it's not just blindly looking at what the consultant does. It's looking at the property to see if all city-protected resources are shown on that map.
And what governmental agency can make a concurrence with a navigable waterway, Mr. Deedle?
Only the DNR.
Okay. So even if you have another concurrence by another consultant, you still cannot assure us that that setback is correct without a concurrence from the DNR? If you just answered, only the DNR can make that.
Yes, and we determine what source of, we, meaning the city, determine what source of information to use in the delineation of natural resources. So the UDO authorizes me to use best available information or field-verified information.
And as you know, I've always been against that best available information vote when that came before the council.
Yes.
But it is exactly, allowed in the UDO. This is exactly why I'm opposed to that, because we end up with unknown setbacks on a recorded CSM. I don't see the problem with this particular one. I do have concerns about the CBRF issue, which is on the letters. I'll refer to the Alderman of the district.
You proposed some changes, so would you read the motion? Proposed motion.
Motion to adopt resolution number 2015 blank, conditionally approving a two-lot certified survey map being part of the northeast one-quarter and southeast one-quarter of the northeast one-quarter of Section 6, Township 5 North, Range 21 East, City of Franklin, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, Hiller Ford, Inc., and Dealership Properties, Inc., applicants, approximately 6381, 6411, 6421, and 6455 South 108th Street, with the technical corrections that I mentioned in regards to the two-lot CSM and the addition of the tax key parcel 704-9976-004 to be added to the first whereas in the resolution.
Alderman Mayer.
So you're saying that the resolution is saying a three-lot?
A couple times it mentions in the conditions 4, 5, and 5, it mentions a three-lot CSM. It's really a two-lot CSM.
Okay, so that will be corrected. The tax key numbers will be
inserted
corrected
where it's supposed to be.
Okay. And all of that will be read into the motion?
I just did.
Yeah. Okay. So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion as amended, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. We'll go back to item E. We have no organizational business this evening. Item F, letters and petitions from Angeline Benning regarding the CBRF facility, South 92nd Street and West St. Martin's Road. Do you have a new petition for us? Angie?
We do not have a new petition. We just have more signatures. Would you like them?
Absolutely. Is there a motion to suspend the rules? And
so moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? So the rules have been suspended. Alderman Dan moved. Did you make the motion?
And I made the second.
Chris. Alderman Mayer.
I am wondering if we can get the letter read into the record.
Somebody have it? You certainly can read it in the record, absolutely. Madam Clerk.
The letter is dated April 2nd, 2015. We, as neighbors of the Briarwood subdivision, would like to turn in a petition today, April 2nd, 2015, to stop the proposed CBRF community-based residential facility that is proposed to be put on in on 92nd and St. Martin's Road. Attached is a written petition as well as a printed copy of our online petition containing collectively 205 signatures. We are actively still seeking more signatures from our community members. These signatures are solely from those directly affected by this facility and the surrounding subdivision. As you can see, the majority of the neighbors are against this facility being put in near our homes and also in our wetlands. We are filing this petition on grounds that the DNR has not done a concurrence on the property. There are currently no permits pulled for this facility that the DNR or the CBRF rules and regulations are aware of. We have found out that the council never saw plans for this facility. The water main was passed to be run down 92nd Street with the council believing that this was for a multifamily home, not a CBRF. Not only that, but a variance was accepted for the water main to be run only partially through the property. The residents of Franklin were not made aware of this facility in any manner. All of this was done while our alderwoman was on vacation. We also caught wind that her emails were sent to the wrong email address. What a coincidence. As you can clearly see on the aerial photos, there is open water on this site. There is navigable water on this site, and we as citizens would like for a wetland concurrence on this property to be conducted. The water on this property is attached to Ryan Creek and also Root River. How can you differentiate a 50-foot setback versus a 75-foot setback when there has been no DNR concurrence? The Army Corps have not been asked to come in to look at the wetlands. How can site plans and water be passed when no one has looked into these wetlands? You can see why we as citizens are concerned about the actions that are being taken within our city. Per Franklin Ordinance 4-4G, quote, a redelineation may be required where there exists extrinsic evidence of cause to reasonably believe that such original delineation is incorrect. In speaking with the DNR, Excel Engineering is not one of the companies the DNR finds reputable in delineations. We as citizens are asking that you please ask the DNR to come and conduct a redelineation of the property. It is vital to our wildlife that this property remain as it is. We already have deer roaming our subdivisions and coyotes all over the place as they have nowhere else to go. This is the one area of land that is available for wildlife. We would like to be able to speak on this matter at the upcoming Common Council meeting on April 7th. We have been informed via Alfred Johnson, Rules and Regulations of CBRFs, April from the DNR, and also Sue Farmer, Bureau of Assisted Living, that we as citizens have the right to a public hearing on this matter. Please let us know if we will indeed be able to speak at the upcoming meeting. Sincerely, Angeline Benning and neighbors.
Is there a motion placed on file along with an additional approximately 120 or so signatures?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The rules have been suspended. If anyone wishes to speak on this matter, is there a motion? Yeah. Dan and Kristen. Anyone wishing to speak? Same rules. Name and address, please.
Joy Krowski, 9430 South 94th Street. I was just wondering why this actual area was decided with all the open area in Franklin that's available. I was just wondering why this actual area was determined to put this facility.
Well, the city did not determine it. It was a free market choice between the landowner and evidently Matt Talbot. They picked it together. So, anyone else? Mr. Salmon?
Joel Salmon, 9272 South 96th Street. Will the DNR be called for the concurrence?
Mr. Deedle.
Not unless directed by the Common Council.
Council, will the DNR be called?
I will make that motion.
Thank you.
The motion is to ask the DNR for concurrence. Is there a second to that motion?
I can read the motion.
Okay. It's your motion. Please do.
Motion to direct staff to request DNR and the Army Corps of Engineers for a wetland delineation concurrence and navigability determination, and that no further action by staff that propels this project along shall be made before these documents come back before the Common Council.
Second.
Mr. City Attorney.
There is still an agreement to be completed, which was a condition of the site plan approval, and it's already been acted on by the Plan Commission. And this is a community living arrangement, CBRF, under Wisconsin statute, section 6223, sub 7, sub I. A CBRF, 8 beds or fewer, is entitled to be located and developed in any residential zone. CBRFs are permitted uses under each of the residential zoning categories in the city zoning code. CBRF is entitled, a CBRF is entitled to be located in a residential zone under state law. There have been federal challenges with regard to that section, as well as the superimposition of the Federal Fair Housing Act and the Federal Americans with Disabilities Act. There was litigation in the federal court with regard to, I believe it was the Oconomowoc Residential Programs Company back in the late 90s. Against the city of Greenfield and the city of, or village of Greendale. Both of those cases involved where the city and the village said this is not going to be approved because there's another CBRF within 2,500 feet of this proposed site, which is what the statute said. The Eastern District of Wisconsin Federal Court said that those provisions are preempted by the Federal Fair Housing Act, or Americans with Disabilities Act. City of Milwaukee was also sued by that same CBRF developer. And that particular case, ultimately, I understand that Greendale and Greenfield settled before the case was, in lieu of any appeal to a higher federal court, with resulting cash sums paid of substantial amounts. City of Milwaukee was also sued by that CBRF developer. With regard to the Eastern District earlier decision about being preempted by Federal Fair Housing Act and or Americans with Disabilities Act, Milwaukee, upon their appeal to Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, lost the case. The court didn't reach the preemption standard, just primarily ruled that Milwaukee's evidence submitted, which was voluminous and it involved increased traffic, properties being too close to a river, et cetera, were unreasonable, and that the CBRF's position was reasonable, and that's under federal law. So these are very difficult situations when it comes to local governments under a state law that says they're entitled to be placed in a residential zone, as well as federal law, which speaks in terms of reasonable accommodations having to be made to serve types of people that are involved in these types of facilities. So I did receive a telephone call today from the lawyer that was referenced earlier when somebody spoke, who spoke at the Plan Commission, and he called to say that just with regard to any further actions, just as a point, he brought up the Oconomowoc residential case against the city of Milwaukee. Ultimately, damages and attorney's fees that were ordered in that case were approaching $500,000, as I recall from reference. And that's what he said this morning. He also referenced a case that he and an attorney, Mark Peterson, prevailed upon and reached a settlement with recently with the city of Kenosha, and that there's one pending right now with the city of Green Bay. He said this is a home for mentally ill and disabled. It's not a drug and alcohol primary use, as apparently is the fact for other Matt Talbot community-based residential facilities on their website. It's not a detox center. And so I'm just informing you of that and am concerned that if the Common Council, by way of directing staff not to do anything to complete this project, the earlier approval of the water extension needs to be finalized in terms of an agreement for future special assessments against that property. And if staff doesn't do that, that may cause some building permit delay, et cetera, outside of all the state licensing requirements for this applicant and this property, and might result in some legal action because it is a permitted use. So that's my concern. And the lawyer also did mention that, as the mayor suggested at Plan Commission meeting, that there is a proposed, or there is going to be a meeting between the applicant and the adjoining area property owners next week, Monday, at the Law Enforcement Center. And when I reviewed the letter in the Common Council packet over the weekend, I was surprised to see references to a public hearing being an entitlement for this matter, because the state statute does not require that. And yesterday I did speak with Mr. Alfred Johnson, who's the director of the Department of Health Services, Bureau of Assisted Living, out of his office in Madison. I talked to Suzanne Farmer, who's the regional director for Southeastern Wisconsin, for the same bureau. And I spoke with April Marcangeli at DNR. And the bottom line was, and I did not put any words in anybody's mouth, I simply asked and referenced this particular letter that was on the city website, which they reviewed. Well, Mr. Johnson and the DNR staff did while I was on the phone. They wanted to look at it. And they said it It's not accurate. Their discussions involve the Community Advisory Committee, which is something that's available upon an under state administrative code upon an applicant's good faith effort, can involve the applicant, obviously, and the local neighboring property owners, as well as the local municipality. Mr. Johnson said to me that most local governments do not participate in community advisory committees, but that was the limit of the discussion. There was no discussion about public hearings. Susan Farmer also mentioned the community advisory committee discussion and said that they don't advise with regard to public hearings. With regard to DNR, it was very general. She didn't recall the subject matter. She looked at the website, called me again, said, now I recall the discussion. But that really went to a general permit process and then individual permit process. She thought this was a general permit process, and so there would be no public hearing. If it was an individual permit process, ultimately, final DNR decision could be subject to a public hearing, but she has seen no application on this particular matter. So that's the sum and substance of everything I know. Well, not everything.
Alderman Mayer.
So I guess what I'm asking,